Happy Wednesday, sports fans, and once again, welcome back into the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, your host, Jordan Glass. Thanks so much again for tuning in. We got a lot to talk about on today's show, a little NBA playoffs, a little NHL playoffs, talking some Major League Baseball, some NFL. Like I said, lots to get to, so let's just go ahead and jump into it. Last night, as we were working through the playoffs in both the NBA and NHL, had a couple of great games. The Knicks and the 76ers, one of those great games, might actually have been the best game we had in all of sports last night, as the Knicks fell to close out the series against Philly. 76ers get that win, 112-106. Tyrese Maxey played out of his mind in that game. Had 46 points for the 76ers, including 7 points in the last 25 seconds of regulation to help them force overtime and ultimately pull off that win, forcing the game six in that series. So definitely looking forward to how that series is going to play out. Look, the Knicks are a good team. They're going to head back to New York. They're going to have an opportunity to close it out at home. But 76ers, man, it seems like they got some key guys playing the right way at the right time. So who knows what can happen in that series. It doesn't matter what level of the playoffs, whether it's the NBA, the NHL, or Major League Baseball, any playoffs that goes to the best of five or best of six, best of seven, or whatever format it is, I think once you get to those game fours, fives, sixes, you know, anything really can happen through that series. So we'll keep an eye on that. Shorthanded Bucks team, they battled back to force a game six, much like the 76ers did. The Bucks, they did it without Giannis. They did it without Damian Lillard. Bobby Portis got ejected in game four, but he definitely showed up in a big way for him in game five and kind of made it up to his team there. Good news for the Bucks, though, as they get ready to head into game six against the Pacers. Looks like maybe could be some good news as Giannis and Lillard expected to maybe potentially make a comeback there in game six. And I got to think, you look at Giannis, you look at Damian Lillard, they're guys that are high-level competitors, right? They wouldn't be in the spot that they are and the players that they are if they weren't. So you got to think those guys, even if they're still a little banged up, if there's any question that they could go, I think that they will coming up in game six, especially because that is a must-win for Milwaukee if they want to stay in this series. Doc Rivers with a little good update there if you're a Bucks fan. Cavs, they are actually one game away from eliminating the Orlando Magic. The Magic have been one of those kind of surprise teams this year in the NBA. They've kind of flown under the radar. Not a lot of talk about them, but they've done a good job this season and the way that they've kind of built that team up. And look, they're a good, talented team, but free throws are a big issue for them. Saw it all throughout the regular season for them, not making free throws, costing them opportunities. Look, free throws are essentially free points, right? That's why they're called free throws. It's essentially free money that you're leaving on the court if you're not hitting those. And last night, Orlando missed seven. And while you may go, oh, well, it was just seven, they only missed seven. In the game of basketball, especially in the postseason in the NBA, if you miss seven free throws, that's a big deal, especially when you look at it and go, we had an opportunity for seven free points and we lost by one, 104-103. So definitely a tough day at the free throw line for the Magic again. Cost them that game. They'll now get ready to have game six of that series with Cleveland with a 3-2 lead in that one. So once again, the Magic will have to tie that series up. They've done it before. Cleveland jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Orlando took two at home. And now, you know, Cleveland back in front. So we'll see if the Magic can fight off elimination and force that game seven in that series. As far as the NHL goes, Carolina, Colorado, they close out their series. They're going to move on to the next round. Not really a big surprise there. Nashville and Toronto, though, they force a game six with a couple of big wins for them. The Predators, one of those teams that are just going to be able to kind of fight it out and stick around. They've got the talent to advance through, so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, Nashville, that's a big win for them last night, forcing that next game in that series. Some Major League Baseball news. Looks like Mike Trout is out, at least for a few weeks. He's going to have some surgery to fix a torn meniscus in his left knee. This is a tough situation for him, man, because he has not been able to stay healthy. It seems like ever since COVID, it's been one injury right after the other, whether it's it's a back or it's a knee or whatever it may be. It did not mean to rhyme there, but you know what I'm saying. He's played, so since the COVID season of 2020, there have been about 500, a little less than 500 Major League Baseball regular season games played. Mike Trout has only played in just over 200 of those at 237. So what is that about? Around half of those games he's missed because of injuries. And he's still playing at a high level when he's healthy. I think that's kind of one of the crazy things about it, is that he still plays at a high level when healthy. But he is getting up there in age, and as the injuries start to mount up, as the injuries start to rack up, it's going to be one of those situations to where he's really got to kind of take a deep dive into what he wants to do moving forward as far as his career. He, you know, talking to the media, he said, look, you play this game as hard as I do, injuries like this are going to happen. You're going to tear your meniscus. You're going to do things like that. You've just got to have the surgery and fix it and go through the rehab, which no exact timetable for a return for Mike Trout just yet. But as far as a meniscus goes, you're looking at, in a good case, 4 to 6 weeks. So a month, month and a half for him to miss. So that means he's going to be coming back right around the All-Star break, just a little before the All-Star break, maybe, if it's good, if rehab goes good and he doesn't have any kind of setbacks. And he himself even said, he's like, look, I didn't really have any pain. I just, one morning I woke up, I'd been out there playing and practicing and didn't really have any kind of issues. And then one morning I woke up and had issues with my knee and went and got checked out. And yeah, he had torn his meniscus and it had actually been torn for a little while. So they're going to go in and do some surgery and clean that up and fix it for him. But again, you know, Mike Trout, just the injuries that he has suffered throughout the last few seasons, it's got to either be one of two things for him moving forward. I think he's got to change the way he plays the game, or he's seriously got to think about how many more years he has left in Major League Baseball, because at this point his body is being sacrificed and being put on the line. So he's really got to kind of look at that and go, okay, I've got to either change the way I play, I've got to change my approach, or I've got to do a better job of you know, taking care of myself and maybe start thinking about calling it a career. I love Mike Trout as a player. I think he's one of the best players in Major League Baseball. He's one of the more fun players to watch in Major League Baseball. He's a great ambassador for the game, but he's got to look out for his health in this situation. So I think that Mike Trout's got to essentially come to a crossroad with this and start looking at it and going, I've either got to kind of refocus and go about the way I train, go about the way I practice and the way I play, or my career is done because I just can't stay healthy. You know, I mean, he made the comment himself, like I said a moment ago, when you play this game as hard as I do, this, I can't say the word that he said, but, you know, it rhymes with it. This it happens, if you will. So I think maybe back off on playing it that hard. You know, I'm not telling him to, you know, take a day off, start, you know, only playing like a couple of games a week or whatever like that. But, you know, understand that, hey, it's okay if I don't, you know, give 150% effort, you know, 110% effort and saving my meniscus or saving my shoulder or saving my ankle or saving my back or whatever it may be. That's fine, you know. And I mean, even guys like Tom Brady, when they got later in their career, they had to change the way they ate. They had to change the way they trained. They had to do all of this to help facilitate them to be able to continue to play. So maybe that's something that Mike Trout looks at and says, okay, let's make these changes and see if that doesn't help us stay a little bit healthier and be able to play a little bit longer. So Mike Trout there, again, torn left meniscus, going to be having some surgery to clean that up. 4 to 6 weeks, if everything goes well with the surgery and rehab goes well, is about the timetable for him. His former teammate, who is now with the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani. Obviously, you're a sports fan. You've been following what's been happening with Shohei. Yeah, a new article came out last night on ESPN and was talking about it. And my goodness, millions of dollars out of Shohei Ohtani's bank accounts were funneled to bookies at California and Las Vegas casinos. and like increments, and like it was done in like, it wasn't like done in small amounts and like over a period. Like this was large amounts taken out, like $500,000 at a time taken out of Shohei Ohtani's bank account. And it is, looks like it's a couple of casinos in Las Vegas and one in Southern California. The one in Las Vegas, Resort Worlds, is the one that they cited in the ESPN article. It looks like they're at the center of an investigation into illegal sports book marketing organizations, bookmaking organizations. So basically, you know, working with bookies and things like that that are under the table that they're not supposed to be doing, that the Gaming Commission does not appreciate. So that saga continues there, and this is the craziest story in all of sports, and it has been for the last couple of months. If you have not really done a deep dive into everything with Shohei Ohtani and this story, I encourage you to do so. If you have the time, sit down, look at it, because it is an insane story, and it's only going to get crazier as we continue to go through. They continue to do this investigation, so definitely curious to see what else comes out next, because there's been a lot of crazy information come out from this. But it also brings up a very interesting conversation. It's a conversation that I like to have from time to time about betting in sports, because I am a big Pete Rose fan. Pete Rose still banned from the Hall of Fame and all of that stuff. And I actually would love to see Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. I full-heartedly believe that Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And when it comes to gambling in sports by the athletes that are playing the sports, I think we live in a world now where betting is such a prominent part of the game, right? I mean, when you have sports networks doing shows about betting on games, when you have people talking about over-unders, when they're breaking down the games on shows, That signals that betting is a very strong part of sports. And I bring this up because there are some people that believe that maybe Shohei Ohtani was involved with this, that maybe there were some things that he was doing through his interpreter. And I'm not necessarily going to get into all of that, but I'm just going to say that if Shohei Ohtani was placing bets, unless it was a bet on a game that he controls the outcome of, I don't think he should face any punishment from it. Much like I don't think Pete Rose should still be banned. I think we live in a world now, like I said, where betting is just a part of sports. I think athletes should be able to bet on sports. I think you should have some rules and some guidelines to kind of help not create situations like we saw with the Chicago Black Sox, where they were betting on, you know, games, or excuse me, allegedly betting on games where they were quote unquote throwing the games intentionally for the bets. I think you can put guidelines in place to where that doesn't happen. For instance, if you're a football player, you can't bet on the sport of football at all. You can bet on baseball, you can bet on basketball, but you can bet on hockey, you can bet on golf, you can bet on tennis, you can bet on any other sport you want to, but you cannot place a bet on the sport that you play. I think that is a perfect guideline that's in place, because really and honestly and truthfully, there is, you can, if you were to say, oh, well, you know, they can place a bet on football, even if they play football, I mean, there's still a chance that they can, you know, somehow, some way, you know, you can make the argument. Somebody's going to make the argument. Well, what if, you know, their buddies play on that team? So what if they helped them out? You know, what if they got a cut of the winnings? You know, so that's why I say ban them completely from the sport that they play in, that they cannot bet on that sport. Right. So like I said, if you're a football player, you want to bet on hockey, you want to bet on soccer, basketball, baseball, tennis, golf, whatever, go for it. And if you are in a situation where you play basketball, well, vice versa. You just take basketball out of the picture altogether. So I think betting should definitely be allowed in sports. And even for athletes who play sports, we just got to have guidelines and things like that. So long way, this is a rant for me to say, let Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame. It's time that Pete Rose gets into the Hall of Fame. And if we find out that Shohei Ohtani was placing bets with a bookie, who cares? Who cares? You're probably listening to this right now on a phone that has a betting app because you place bets on sports. It's part of the sporting world now. Who cares if people are placing bets? As long as an athlete is not placing a bet on a game that he can directly affect the outcome of, who cares? Just let them keep on rolling through on that. So, again, with the whole Shohei Ohtani thing, it's going to be more craziness to come out, and we'll just have to figure out what plays out when it does. And if we find out, like I said, Shohei Ohtani is placing bets, hey, if he's not placing bets on games he can directly affect the outcome of, who cares, really? We've got some news from the NFL. The Washington Commanders, fresh off the draft, they have come out and said, yeah, we've got our guy. This is the guy that we have been waiting on. It's been years. We needed a quarterback. We thought we had one. Then it just doesn't work out time and time again. But this is our guy. And they're talking, of course, about Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels, I think if you take Caleb Williams out of the picture, all right, let's not talk about Caleb Williams. If you take Caleb Williams out of the picture, I think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback of this past draft class that we saw. So I really do believe that they're right on this. I think that they do have a legitimate point when they say that Jaden Daniels is their guy moving forward. And new GM, Adam Peters, I mean, he came out and he talked to the media and he said, look, I really didn't pay attention during the football season to the quarterbacks at the college level. But as soon as January rolled around, as soon as the NFL season was over, as soon as I kind of got into this position as the GM, I started looking at film. And immediately, Jaden Daniels jumped off of the film at me for what he was able to do. The way he uses his legs, the way he can find guys downfield after rolling out and extending plays, the arm strength he has, the accuracy that he has. So Adam Peters definitely high on his new quarterback there with the Washington Commanders. It would ask, you know, was there a particular set of film or some plays or anything like that? Adam Peters said the Florida game. And, I mean, rightfully so. If you go back and you look at his stat line from that, I think he ran the ball 12 times, had almost 250 yards rushing. He threw for I don't know how many. And that LSU offense just kind of was going up and down the field on Florida all night long in that game. But I will say this about that statement that he made saying, oh, well, yeah, we looked at the Florida game and, you know, he did great in the Florida game. So we definitely felt like we were going to be able to draft him and he was going to be our guy. Be careful on that, all right, because Florida's defense wasn't exactly, you know, Alabama's defense or Georgia's defense, right? They were a defensive team that struggled in a lot of categories. I mean, Florida was almost dead last in interceptions and turnovers last year. Tackling was abysmal. They could not shed blocks to save their lives. There was a lot of issues with the Florida defense a season ago. So I would, you know, looking at that game of going, oh, well, yeah, it was the Florida game. Well, the Florida game wasn't maybe necessarily something that you could bank off of. However, to that note, mentioning the Alabama game, Jaden Daniels performed very well against Alabama in last year's season. So, you know, there is something there. And like I said, you take Caleb Williams out of the equation, I definitely think that Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy moving forward for them. And I'm excited to see not only what Jaden Daniels can do, but obviously Caleb Williams there in Chicago. And, of course, you've got Drake May in New England. I would have chose a different number if I was him. He's going to wear number 10 just like Mac Jones did. We'll see if that number's cursed or not. We'll find out. I don't know. Mac Jones did not do like okay. It wasn't even okay. He did pretty bad there in New England. So we'll see what Drake May wearing that number 10 jersey for the Patriots next year. We've also got, you know, I mean Michael Penix Jr. in Atlanta. Don't think he's really going to see the field. JJ McCarthy in Minnesota. And of course, don't forget about Bo Nix out there in Denver with the Broncos. Still say the Broncos could have traded back and picked him up, but I've already been on that rant once already. I'm not going to revisit that. But who knows how it's going to play out? Who knows? This could be one of the greatest draft classes for quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, or it could be another round of busts. Only time will tell. We'll find out together. Speaking of time, we are out of it. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, your host, Jordan Glass. Have a great Wednesday. Have more for you coming up tomorrow.